The WBEN Liveline this morning on the Trocare College Liveline. Brad Garrett, crime and terrorism analyst. Brad, wanted to get your thoughts. We didn't get to talk with you last week about school violence. Security seems to be getting more and more sophisticated in schools across the country right here in Buffalo, but it's not enough. I mean, we had the mass shooting in Georgia last week. Four people killed. In Buffalo this week, a 15-year-old is recovering from a stabbing by another 15-year-old in a stairwell. What is the answer here?
So, you know, one of the problems in reference to security, Susan, in schools is, you know, schools aren't architecturally designed to be sort of target hardened like a prison or jail. And, you know, there's a lot of entrances and exits. Depending on the layout of the school, there may be multiple ways to get into the school. And if the school is of any size, it's very difficult to sort of have a choke point where everyone has to go through the same door each day. I mean, I'm not sure you could get everybody to class. A super small school, you could probably do that. But the point being, kids that end up doing harmful things or violent things at school with weapons, with guns, with knives, whatever it might be, figure out other ways to get it into school. And let's face it, when you have the human element of even people going through metal detectors, could he or she have slipped it through even in a backpack? Maybe. But the point being, you know, determined kids will get in whatever they want to get in at some point. So it makes it a real challenge for administrators as to what to do about it. Yes, you can have metal detectors, but one of the key components is the relationship between the students and the staff, you know, all the way down to the custodial staff, whoever has relationships with the kids where they pick up information about this kid saying this kid saying that, where people can at least look into it and see what it is. That's not perfect, of course, but, you know, it's like anything else. That's what tends to get people caught.
You know, we learned this morning, Brad, in this incident of stabbing, it had been previously known that the people involved in the stabbing in a school here in Buffalo were involved, the same 15-year-olds, involved in a stabbing incident in downtown Buffalo just a couple of months ago in July. Same exact people. And we learned this morning that the principal apparently did not know that these students were in school together, you know, after having been involved in a previous violent incident just a couple of months ago. The principal didn't know that they were in the same school. And I was wondering if that has something to do with, you know, names being sealed because they're minors inside of a courtroom or something like that, if we need to open that up. But is it, you know, is head scratching to you that something like that could be true as it is to us?
It doesn't shock me at all that it's true. Only because, Brian, you know, the way the criminal justice and the court system is set up is, you know, it's not sort of designed in a very easy way for information to sort of free flow. I'm not suggesting that, you know, information about juveniles should just be floating around out there. But there needs to be sort of a common group of people. In other words, whether you want to call them probation officers, whatever, when you have kids like this that have demonstrated violence, that, you know, who's taking a look at their world? Where do they go to school? What else do they do? You know, to at least make people aware that, you know, you've got potentially a troubled kid here based on the facts we have from this other case. Now, I get why people don't do that. You just mentioned it is, you know, of the privacy aspect. But, you know, it becomes a thin line between privacy and the well-being of others. And, you know, it's one thing to say things that maybe you do or don't know about a particular juvenile, but to say to an administrator that, you know, this, you've got a 15-year-old that stabbed somebody or allegedly stabbed somebody who's been charged, and just be aware. In other words, let the resource officer, if there's one assigned to that school, that he or she would know about Mr. or Miss X, to keep an eye on them and maybe have informal conversations with them to let them know, you know, you know, we have our eye on you. Just, you know, don't get in trouble here.
Brad, fights have always been an issue in schools. Why are kids now turning to knives and other weapons?
I think because we have gone up a notch or two in the last 8 to 10 years in divisiveness and anger, and the amount of violent stuff that's online, and the idea of separation and isolation, which tends to dehumanize people, keeps growing, and it affects young kids as much as it sometimes affects adults. And so we collectively, not us individually, have sort of, this has happened. I don't see it getting any better. Kids are just as isolated with devices, and, you know, if they're in a troubled home situation, and they now have gotten in trouble at least once, and there's really no guidance to get them into a more positive environment, then you have people that, you know, then do something really super violent, which, you know, clearly, you know, happened in Georgia last week. It's kind of a sad commentary, but it's the reality of where we are right now.